Yeah. Mic check 1 2 1 2. This thing on. Yeah. See, some of y'all might not know what this is, and I feel bad for you. And this just might not mean nothing to y'all, but this your girl DJ Exclusive with the Nothing Podcast, Anything Lit. This episode 90, Snitches in the Hood. Yeah. Last time I was here, I had a little bit of a cold, but I'm back. I'm feeling better now. It's so much shit I gotta say. See, I came to get loose. I came to talk that talk. See, y'all already know how I give it up when I get on this mic. I come to get my shit off. I came to talk about perspective. I'm only here to talk to adults. I've seen your face before, my friend. This ain't for kids. I don't be telling all them jokes. I come to keep it real. I come to give it up for the culture, my nigga. I can feel it coming in the air tonight. Oh, Lord. Well, I've been waiting for this moment for all my life. Oh, Lord. See, if you don't know what this song is about, and what this song mean to the hustler? Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. You not ready for this podcast. What we doing on this episode different? I'm not playing with y'all. Don't think just because I don't drop every week that I'm still not with the shit, nigga. It's quality over quantity, nigga. Each episode, I earn this. I'm coming to give it up, nigga. Oh, Lord. Man. Well, I've been waiting for this moment for all my life. Man. Oh, Lord. You should already know what I'm about to do, my nigga. And if you don't know what I'm about to do, all I gotta say is rest in peace, Alpo. Call on what you want. Legend. Y'all know the playlist today, crazy. So much shit went on since I've been on this mic. I'ma touch on as much as I feel like it. But just know this episode is gonna be an instant classic. You heard me? Lego.
But before this came along, I was already dealing with Rich with his connect. So if his connect was charging whatever, I didn't have no problem with Rich making $1,000, $2,000 off of me, because I was coming to spend $300,000-$400,000 with him. But now my connect is giving it from $12,000-$13,000. My original connect is giving it for $12,000-$13,000, and I'm supposed to get half of that at that price. But Rich got me thinking that the coke that I'm getting from him is still coming from his connect. So then I wind up bumping into my connect because I wind up staying up there a couple of days, and I wind up running into my connect.
Okay.
So I bump into him. So I said, "Yo, what's up, man?" I said, "Yo, what's up, man? When are you gonna start, you know, looking out for a brother, man?"
Okay.
He's like, "What you talking about, Pope?" I said, "Man, you know what that I'm talking about. When you gonna start fronting us this and that?" And he had a lot of respect for me. I had a lot of respect for him. And so I said, "Yo, when you," so he's like, "Yo, what are you talking about? I just gave us like 60 joints." This time he had just gave us like 60 bricks.
Okay.
And 30 of them were, 30 of those bricks were mine.
Okay.
So I'm saying, "No, you didn't. You didn't." Rich got coke from his man. He said, "Man, Pope, I'm telling you, man." I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "Yeah, all right, man." And he described them. And I remember I had just got these like round, these round joints from Rich that were real good. I think they had like Reagan or somebody on them.
Okay.
They were real, real good, man. And he described them to me and everything.
Okay.
So I said, "Yo, all right." I said, "Yo, we never had this conversation, man." So I didn't really say much about it. I just had in my mind like, "Damn, Rich getting over on me like that." So I didn't say nothing to him the first time. So I went back down to D.C. to give rid of my bricks and all that. And I had developed a relationship with one of my, with a dude that just started off as one of my customers. Me and him had built a relationship where we became like real tight, like me and Rich in New York. This kid was me and Rich in D.C.
Okay. What was his name?
His name was Gary.
Gary.
Yeah, little Gary.
Is that the one that they say got his dick cut off?
Yeah, that's the one they say got his dick cut off, yeah.
Was that a situation from you?
Yeah.
That was?
I wound up killing little Gary later on. This kid was good. He was probably about 3 years younger than me. He was a murderer too. He was about his murder game.
Okay.
This was my little man. So I went back down to D.C., man, and I told my little man, I said, "Yo, man." So I said, "Yo, man, this dude Rich up in New York, man." And he knew Rich because he knew Rich from me bringing him to New York because we used to do the firework thing in New York.
Okay.
I used to, every 4th of July, I used to spend like $10,000, $15,000 with these guineas downtown and get me like a truck full of fireworks and come back to my neighborhood and blow it all up and all that.
Okay.
Around 105th Street. And this time I did it around 102nd Street with Rich and all that. And I brought my little man because they never seen nothing like that being in D.C. They couldn't really do stuff like that. So I brought him to New York to show him how we live up there and all that.
Okay.
So he wanted me and Rich in that process and all that. So this day I went back to D.C. I said, "Yo, man, this dude here, man. I just found out this dude is jerking me, man." He's like, "What are you talking about, Pope?" I said, "Man, this dude getting these bricks from my man. I'm supposed to get half at this price. And he charging me this price because I'm thinking it's still coming from his connect."
Mm-hmm.
And first thing come out, he's like, man, let's kill him, man."
Uh-huh.
I was like, "Nah, just hold up for a minute. Let me think about this thing." So I wound up calling Rich. I said, "Yo, Rich, everything all right? Your man back on?" So I'm just checking. I said, "Your man back on?" He said, "Oh, yeah, my man just gave me some more joints. You coming up?" I said, "Yeah, I'll be there."
Okay.
I said, "All right." I told my little man, I said, "Yo, we going to New York, man, and we going to go see Rich." No, first I went to New York. First I went to New York. I took care of my business with him. I spent about $500,000 with him and got my bricks and all that. And he was also getting bricks from like Fritz and them. I don't know if you ever heard of the kid Fritz.
Yeah, I heard of Fritz.
Yeah, he was Fritz was getting boatloads of that stuff. I wound up taking it back to D.C. So I'm still not saying that. So I'm seeing my little man. I said, "Yo, man, that's it, man. I'm going back to New York."
Magazine.
I said, "Yo, I'm gonna ask Rich. I'm gonna step to him because I'm really just fed up with it now." I said, "Yo, I'm gonna ask Rich who he got that coke from. This last thing I got, who he getting this coke from? And if he lied to me again, that's it. It's over.
Okay.
I'm taking him out." So now I tell my little man this. I'm saying, "Yo, you come." I said, "Yo, we gonna go to New York. I had just got me a customized van. I just bought me a customized van. Them big joints with the TV and the bed and all that."
Okay.
So I had just bought one of those, and it was up there in the shop getting the system done and all that. So I told my little man, I said, "Yo, we gonna go to New York. We gonna fly to New York. I'm gonna get with Rich, and I'm gonna find out what the hell is going on."
Okay.
So one thing led to another, and I don't want to go into all that, you know. But did I? The question is, did I have anything? Did I kill Rich?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Kill Rich.
How'd that come about? You just put, because everything on the street said that a limousine pulled up.
Huh?
A limousine pulled up and put Richard in the car or something of that.
That's what they said?
Yeah.
No. Antoine, that didn't happen. That's for them to see later on, Antoine. That didn't happen, Antoine.
Okay.
That didn't happen. But I know the thing is, did I kill Rich? And yes, I killed Rich. Why did I kill him? It wasn't personal. It was business. I'm gonna tell you this, because Rich, like I told you, like the story I threw with the connect and all that. Rich, he was lying to me about something that there was no reason to lie to me about, and in my mind, it just told me that if this little bit of money can come between what I thought was a wonderful relationship and a friendship, then no telling what you might sell me down the line for. And I gave him the opportunity to tell me the truth, not once, but twice.
This notorious drug lord, Alpo Martinez, shot and killed on the streets of Harlem. He was a larger-than-life figure who seemed to defy death. Fox 5's Lisa Evers goes over who he was and why he might have had a long list of enemies.
He was one of the city's most notorious drug dealers, famous since the 1980s for his murderous ways and mountains of cash and drugs, immortalized in dozens of rap songs and the movie Paid in Full. But it all came to an end for Alpo Martinez right here on the streets of Harlem, right where it all began. These are exclusive photos of Alberto Alpo Martinez on previous visits to Harlem in recent years. But his latest visit turned out to be his last. On Sunday, about 3:20 a.m., police were called to Frederick Douglass Boulevard near West 147th Street. A dark red pickup truck crashed into parked cars. The driver was shot 5 times in the chest through the car window and killed.
I heard 5 shots, 1 and then 4 consecutive shots after that.
It was Alpo, but his driver's license and other IDs had his witness protection name of Abraham Rodriguez with a Lewiston, Maine address. The murder scene stretched for blocks up to 151st Street. Alpo had been given a new identity when he was released from a Colorado Supermax prison in 2015 after serving more than 20 years for 14 murders. But instead of lying low, he couldn't seem to stay away from New York.
He's been seen riding around Harlem most of the time. You know, he's been seen down in Harlem a lot.
In addition to the murder convictions, Alpo was widely believed to have turned on many of his former associates in order to shave years off what could have been a life sentence. There is no shortage of people who may have wanted payback.
Other than him being who he is, this seems to be a thing with guns going on that everyone's, you know, it's getting out of hand with the guns. Everyone seems to have a gun right now.
Sources tell me that Alpo may have been shot while sitting in his car further down the block and then tried to drive away to escape. Investigators will be looking at forensic evidence as well as surveillance video to get a clearer picture of what really happened. In Harlem, I'm Lisa Evers, Fox 5 News.
I had to make sure I played that clip because not everybody used to read Don Diva and Feds Magazine and followed them when they went on the internet. So there's a lot of old interviews and old documentaries. Shout out to your boy Troy Reed that a lot of people did not see. So I'm going to be using some of that information throughout this podcast to tell the story that I want to tell as it pertains to Richard Porter, AZ, Alpo, even Sammy the Bull, Tekashi 6ix9ine, Nikki Barnes, Frank Lucas. I want to talk about snitching in a different kind of way. I want to talk about Alpo's death in a different kind of way. That's one of the reasons. I'm not going to say that's the sole reason that I've waited to record this episode, but that's one of the biggest reasons, because I wanted to make sure I talked to enough people. I thought about it myself on a lot of different levels and can deliver this episode from a place of perspective and understanding the act of snitching versus condemning someone and judging someone and doing all of that other shit when a person decides that that is what they want to do for themselves. One of the things that I did was I asked some people on social media and in my immediate circle, do you subscribe to the term better you than me? A lot of people pussyfooted around that. because a lot of people know what my angle was. And on social media, I just kind of put it out there. I let it be known what my angle was. And my angle is this. If you have the mentality that says it's going to be you before it's me, how can you be upset at a person that decides that they want to choose themselves over another motherfucker when it comes to either life in prison or even sometimes the death penalty? Because that's the same shit. It's them or me. And when you bring up the subject of snitching, there's a lot of goalposts moving. There's a lot of niggas adding addendums and little things to make their little logic and whatever they trying to spin and say as it pertains to snitching be the thing. So this is what we're going to do on this episode of the Nothing Podcast. We talking about choosing yourself, your family, your livelihood, your well-being over another person's happiness, their livelihood, their well-being. Would you do that? Because at the end of the day, that is what snitching is. I don't give a fuck about what street code you signed up for, because the reality of the situation, everything cool until it's not. Your niggas until they not. Everybody getting money riding around, everybody cool. But when shit hit the fan, niggas is not rolling like they do. And niggas be falling out and acting all crazy well before snitching is even a thing. Let's keep that real. Snitching don't even be in a nigga's mind. There don't even be no reason to consider snitching, and niggas be turning they back on they friends and they family for less. So now we talking about years in federal penitentiaries. Niggas is snitching. And it be the niggas that's crazy, because it be a lot of niggas that I know personally that I grew up with that have either been snitched on or been the snitch, and you can see them hanging around with either the person that snitched on them or people that is cool with the person that snitched on them. But they be the main ones on social media talking about how snitching is this and snitching is that. Nigga. Niggas was getting mad at Kanye West for saying slavery is a choice, and then they was getting mad at me for agreeing with it because I subscribe to the fact that just because you have to choose between fucked up and fucked the fuck up doesn't mean that it's not a choice. People seem to think that it could only be a choice if you have something good versus something bad or something not so bad in comparison. But they like, yo, how could slavery be a choice? Because you're either choosing to be a slave or die. Well, guess what? That's a choice. Regardless of what you believe, because I have friends that don't believe in that whole slave ship. We came from Africa, whatever. That's a whole different podcast. But if you are a person that believes we was on the slave ships, then you also believe that people jumped off them bitches for their freedom. People would rather drown or take their chances making it than to be shipped off into slavery. There's so many elements of slavery that they don't tell you about. They don't tell you about all of the people that ran or rebelled. They just make you think about the people that decided to be subservient to slavery. So yes, that shit was a choice. I say that to say, niggas that make the choice to commit a crime, they also make the choice to say, well, if I get arrested, I'm going to do my time. That is your choice. Just like a nigga that says, yo, I'm not about to go to jail for 25, 30 years. Fuck that. And I understand everybody's whole philosophy. Oh, you knew what came with this. But then I could throw that right back at you. You knew there's snitches in the streets. How come you talk about loyalty and what people should have known as it pertains to snitching, but none of that shit applies to the other part? Alpo did what he had to do on some business shit. Sammy the Bull snitched on Gotti because Gotti was either going to get him locked up or killed. Niggas is doing disloyal shit to motherfuckers, but you supposed to risk your life and your happiness and your well-being to be loyal. That in itself makes absolutely no sense. That's why I'm asking y'all. Is it really between you or them? Who you picking? Who you picking? You got to choose between going home to your family or going to jail for the rest of your life and possibly whatever happens with that. See, niggas want you to understand, yo, if you get caught up, that's the game, blah, 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 blah. But they don't want to understand, yo, if you get caught up and a nigga don't want to do 20, 30 years, they're going to tell on you. They don't want to accept that part. And then the issue, people like 6ix9ine, right? I've been saying from the beginning, from the giddy up, 6ix9ine been who 6ix9ine is. He ain't just become this person. 6ix9ine should have never, ever been nowhere near none of the shit that they had 6ix9ine involved with. 6ix9ine was never a gangster. So how can you hold him to gangster rules? Because a bunch of quote unquote gangsters allow money and success to rule their judgment and overrule what they've learned in the streets. I'm supposed to be mad at 6ix9ine for being who the fuck he's supposed to be? Nah, I can't do that. I don't subscribe to that. Most real niggas that's really, really like in the streets, like doing Nino Brown type shit, they would have never let 6ix9ine call no shots. How is a real nigga that got bodies been in the streets putting in work, even taking orders from this nigga? Why? What kind of gang is that? Who cares if he got money? Y'all niggas is supposed to have money too. That shit sound crazy to me. That shit sound crazy. So you got Rich Robin Alpo. You got John Gotti trying to do Sammy the Bull dirty. You got Treyway doing 6ix9ine dirty. You got Nicky Barnes that actually went to jail, took his time, but then his right-hand man started fucking his bitch. So that's jealousy. We know that's a part of the game. And the fact that the nigga actually took his time and he went to jail, he didn't turn informant because he wasn't going to go to jail and do his time. He turned informant because niggas was being disloyal to him after the fact. That's where my issue with snitching is. You can move the goalpost wherever you want to move it to, but it's always going to come back to somebody being disloyal, but then expecting for somebody to be loyal to them. Even if it's a situation where two niggas did a crime and ain't nobody did shit to nobody, guess what? You did a crime. You're a criminal. You're involved in the underworld. All of this shit come with it. One of the first rules of the streets is you don't trust nobody. I don't give a fuck how much you think that's your man's in them. Because like the whole point I'm trying to make on this whole episode, niggas don't want to die in jail or go to jail for mad long. Your man's in them since the sandbox is going to tell on you, nigga. They're going to tell on you. And I don't want to hear nothing about, oh, you don't know nothing about what you're talking about. Nah, nigga, I got common sense, bro. And how is a Nicky Barnes or a Frankie Lucas situation any different than y'all niggas running these criminal organizations and you literally working with the police? You got police officers on your payroll. You give them information. They give you information. It's like at the end of the day, the underworld is not supposed to affiliate with the police. That's why that's one of my favorite lines in The Wire. When Bodhi was like, nah, I don't get this Amsterdam shit. We grind, yeah, I try to stop it. That's how that shit go. And that's facts. But the way that the streets are and the way that your mind should work if you are as smart and as dangerous as a person like Alpo, you're considering all your angles. You got to plan A, B through Z. So within case a certain situation play out in a certain kind of way, this is the way you want to handle that. And what Alpo wanted was to not die in jail. He wanted to actually walk and be free again. And he accomplished that. And then the crazy shit is, unlike 6ix9ine and unlike a lot of other niggas that turned informant besides Sammy the Bull, he actually did do wet work. He wasn't just a hustler. He did wet work. He was dangerous. People were afraid of him. And even when he turned informant, he was just like, yo, I'm not snitching on nobody from Harlem. Even that's a form of loyalty. And a lot of people are saying, oh, he finally got caught slacking. Nah, word on the street is Alpo was still knee deep in the drug game in 2021. Look it up. They say he was throwing heroin out the window after he got shot up. And that's a little bit later. We're going to talk about this in a little bit of detail. I just want y'all to know there's a lot of shit going on in the streets right now. And I think niggas watch the movie Pain in Full and they think that that's actually Alpo and who he is. And I don't want people to think that I glorify snitching because I don't. I just understand it. And every time I hear a story where a motherfucker could have snitched and they didn't, the alternative be crazy. And I just be looking at them like, the fuck did you not tell for? Like, that's crazy. You should have definitely told. Like, you should have definitely told. Because most of the time when you don't tell on niggas and you go to jail, them niggas don't send you one letter. They don't take care of your family. They don't do nothing for you. Your girl be getting fucked by your niggas. And he's still not paying no bills and putting no groceries in your crib. And he fucking your bitch. Shit be wild spooky. And I'm just trying to get an understanding why niggas will choose disloyalty just to say, yeah, I stood tall. I did my numbers. Like, look at Bobby Shmurda. Bobby Shmurda looking sweeter than a fucking jug of Snapples. That nigga sweet as fuck. Yeah. During that time in there with grown ass men and you was a little boy. And you could say that he was acting spicy as fuck before he went in, but that would probably be the same circumstances. You gang banging around a whole bunch of niggas that's up in jail. That's probably why Casanova begging to come home. But I'm giving away the show, man. I'm giving away the show. So much shit went on, man. So much shit. We talking Travis Scott. We talking Alpo. We talking snitches. We talking everything. But right now, we talking this music. Lego.
You are now rocking with DJ Fsclusive, Connecticut's finest female DJ.
Even the press say, what's the meaning of V-A-P-O-R-S? Hey. The meaning of this word, without no doubt, means nobody wanna be that one you're down and out.
Come on,
when you're established and got a lot of money, everybody wanna be your buddy and honey. Like tall buildings they call skyscrapers.
And you feel it.
Nothing can save ya, but this is the season of catching the vapors. Woo. And since I got time, what I'm gonna do is tell you how they spread it throughout my crew. Well, you all don't see this one. We sang on my records, make the music nobody beats the biz. Well, check.
Come on.
Back in the day before this began, he used to try to talk to this girl named Fran. The type of female with fly Gucci wear, with big drug jewelry and extensions in her hair. When Swan tried to kick it, she always best talking about, baby, please, you work for UPS.
Rest in peace.
He wasn't no type of big drug dealer. My man CJ Swarm didn't appeal to her. But now he trucks gold and wear fly belly boots, rough leather fashion and tough silk suits. Now she stopped frontin' and wants to speak and be coming to all the shows every single weekend. To get his people number, she be begging please, dying for the day to get skis.
She caught the vapors. Hey, rest in peace, Biz Markie. Yeah.
he love you. Y'all gotta stop playing with me. I goes in.
MC and my people call me Milk. When I'm busting up a party, I feel no guilt.
Yeah.
Gizmo's cutting up for the suckers that's down with me.
Wait a minute, Dumplings.
Come on.
Yeah, MC and my people call me Milk. When I'm busting up a party, I feel no guilt. Gizmo's cutting up for the
suckers that's
down with me.
Woo!
The one of us, that's how I feel. To be down, you must appeal to the two.
We read it all.
We're gifted and we're going far.
Yeah.
Down the road to the bank. While I'm here, I'd like to thank Mom and Dad, they knew the time. Gizmo scratch. He's rhyming, Milk is chilling, Giz is chilling.
What more can I say?
Top billing, that's what we get. Got it good.
And since you understood,
watch out,
stop scheming and looking hard.
I got a great big bodyguard.
So step up if you wanna get hurt.
Woo!
Milk these gonna pull this skirt. I get money,
money I got.
Stunts call me honey if they feel real hot. That's how it is.
Everybody knew this thing.
We came to give it up.
I'm holding it down for DJ Exclusives. Just spin it, ma.
We in the golden era. Come on.
My neighborhood is tough, but I still sport gold and I'm out to crush. My name is Cool J, I devastate the show, but I couldn't survive
without my radio. Stop sleeping on L.
I would have got a summons, but I ran away. I'm the leader of the show, keeping you on the go. But I know I can't live without my radio.
That man L a problem still. Oh, man. MC Light. Before she was on BET a year.
When you say you love me, it doesn't matter. It goes into my head as just chit-chatter. You may think it's egotistical or just very free, but what you say, I take none of it seriously. And even if I did, I wouldn't tell you so. I'd let you pretend to read me, and then you'd know. Cause I hate when one attempts to analyze. In fact, I despise those who even try to look into my eyes to see what I am thinking. That dream is over, your yacht is sinking. I tell all of you like I told all of them. What you say to me is just paper thin.
Yeah, Light.
Soaked out blends.
She a goat.
I'm not the kind of girl to try to play a man out. I take the money and again, then break the hell out. No, that's not my strategy, not the game I play. I admit I play a game, but it's not done that way. Truly, when I get involved, I give it my heart. I mean, my mama sold my body, I mean, every part. But if it doesn't work out, yo, it just doesn't. It wasn't meant to be, you know, it just wasn't. So I treat all of you like I treat all of them. And what you say to me is still paper thin. In one ear and right out the other. Herders mumble jumble. Lover, I don't pay attention, I don't concentrate. You ain't got the bait that it takes to hook this. Sucker, you missed. I put feelings aside. I know who I am. My name is Light. Is your name Sam? Cause if it is, step off. Grab your coat and get lost. Wrap your scarf around your throat and go back and catch the boat and hit the road, Sam.
And don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more. Hit the road,
Sam. Don't you come back no more. So now I take precautions.
I'm just saying, I sounded nice in the mix with Light, though.
Okay. These young men did a show yesterday. Alpo killer arrested. Allegedly, it was over a girl. Now, let's go with that. They said they got the call. As you know, I do not try to pick apart or tear down anyone's content. I love the fact that you younger people today, and I say younger with all due respect, I'm 57. You guys can talk to your genre, your generation, your culture, and you can mentally massage things. So I just want to come in and, you know, at my little two cents and speculate. Her. Now I'm going to go back into time, as I do for history reasons only. And I'm going to say to you again, you know, Alpo and others from our generation, what you guys think is something so new now with Young Thug, Kid Cudi, niggas been moving like that since back in the days. Not me personally, I've always been heterosexual. But have you ever seen Alpo in the crop top t-shirt? If not, I'm going to put that in my community section at some point. Just let me work. I want to work today. I got a little, what am I sipping here? Cran grape ocean spray. Alpo Martinez. Why do you ride his tip? He was not African American. He wasn't about building up your communities. But you are the ones you ride his tip. Yo, Po. Poe was about that life to the bitter end. I have to respect it. I didn't necessarily like how he moved. And I'm sorry. And for those of you hoe-ass niggas in my comments, yo, why wasn't you talking like that when he was alive? I was, bitch nigga. I always have been talking reckless. I'm Star from Scotch Plains, New Jersey, by way of Hot 97, Power 105, MTV, VH1. I'm no tough guy, but I'm stupid. I've always made myself available. And in case you ever missed it, what I said weeks ago, he reached out to me via DM. Alpo asked Troy Reed, because Troy Reed sent him to me. He said, yo, homie. Oh, I think he said player. I got this screenshot somewhere. Troy Reed said reach out to you. Yada, yada, yada. And I just said, no thanks, man. I don't want to interview you. Good luck. So yes, I'm that nigga for real, for real. Let me calm down. Alpo Martinez killed by transgender lover over broken promises. They talking about they got the call. Something over a bitch. And I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to let them do what they do and give them all the credit. But folks, I want to talk to you about yesteryear and today. Nobody is killing niggas over bitches in 2021. And I'm sorry. Nobody's killing each other over black bitches. The young niggas aren't. Half of these young niggas are switching and key-keying. They're metrosexual, bisexual, trisexual. You know, you got the whole transgender community down here in the ATL. Shit is crazy down here. Nobody up in New York is killing each other over a bitch. And females are not a dime a dozen anymore, respectfully. They're a nickel for 30. You've got all sorts of goddamn, with the plenty of fish and all these other sites and these apps. So I'm not going with the story of somebody ran down on Alpo and shot him over a bitch. No. No. I'm not going with the story that it was something over drugs and the keys. Please, stop it. This is not the 80s. This ain't 88. Time to set the record straight. No dealer in his right mind, no connection in his right mind would do business with Alpo, you know, for keys and keys, kilos of cocaine. He is a certified, confirmed fucking rat. Like myself. Alpo signed a proffer agreement. He testified against Wayne Perry. Stop all that. Yeah, yeah. Now he was moving weight. Stop it. Stop it. Guys, give me some time. I'll come to you on the phone. I just want to ramble here. Old nigga flow. If it wasn't a professional that killed Alpo, then this was a crime of passion. Somebody popped his ass 5 or 6 times. Pow! Pow, 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 pow. What about me, Poe? What about me? All the visits, all the money on your books? Give me some time, I'll lay it all out to you. It's just a theory. No female in 2021, especially not a young girl, is gonna pop a old nigga hustling, you know, hustling, small time hustling. 3:30 in the morning, whatever that was. Pow, 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 pow. The young girls are not moving like that today. They'll set your dumb ass up as you're going up the stairs. You're in the Airbnb. She'll send some other niggas in. But you know who would pop his old ass? Yes, old. I'm 57. That nigga was 55. You know who would pop his ass? A transgender. A transgender. Baby, I've been with you for 25 years. I did the time with you, Poe. What about me? What about me, Poe? I'm going there. Sue me if you don't like it. Some of you need a little bit more education on history. There is a classic film called Dog Day Afternoon. Anybody know what I'm talking about in that live chat? When did that come out? 73, 75?
And like I said, that's why I waited. It's been so much shit that's been coming out. They've been saying the man is gay. They've been saying he's been still selling drugs, which has been verified. The actual police took pictures of the heroin that he threw out the car. There's video footage of him actually throwing drugs out the car. So the fact that he was selling drugs is can't be disputed. Now, the level to in which he was doing it at, I mean, you can say it was small time, big time, but we can all say that he was still selling drugs at the time of his death. And he was into some shit as it pertains to drugs, because if you were shot 5 times, I don't think your brain is drive away, throw the heroin out the window, especially if you under witness protection and you're using fake identification. You know what I'm saying? So you already know whatever happened was on some illegal bullshit, because most people that get shot, they get shot and they remain where they shot at. They don't try to get away unless they involved with some other shit. Now, I've heard the whole Alpo is gay shit, but I never really cared or talked about it, because who gives a fuck? I know mad gay niggas that'll fuck you up. But that seems to be a narrative to in which he got killed. I don't know if that's true. But I also think that that's important, because that just sheds a light on niggas don't know who niggas are for real. Niggas be focused on the whole principle of cheating, but they don't really be knowing niggas' bodies like that. Now, let's just say Alpo really was gay and his death has some shit to do with some gay shit or whatever the case may be, and niggas is shocked. That just speaks to the fact that you don't know who niggas be. And y'all be quick to be on some, that nigga real, that nigga this, that nigga that, da, 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 da. And that all might be true, but that depends on what you think real is. Ain't nobody ever sat down and wrote like the blueprint of what's real, what's acceptable, what's not, what's hood, what's not, what's street, what's not. There ain't no rules to this. Everybody out here doing their own thing. And that be what I be having in mind when I be like, yo, this is why niggas do what they do. Shout out to Star. What you said about Aaliyah was fucked up, but I fuck with Star Show because he keep it funky. He's saying what niggas don't want to hear, but it's the truth. If you listening to the right people, if you in the right pockets and you in the right areas, you hear certain conversations and you not being manipulated into believing certain narratives. That's why I don't look at shit the way y'all niggas look at shit, because I understand what's going on, just like this Travis Scott shit.
Investigators are hoping that video from that music festival tragedy helps them piece together exactly what went wrong. MSNBC anchor Lindsay Reiser joins us now with a minute-by-minute breakdown. Lindsay, help us understand what happened here. Walk us through some of these videos we're seeing.
Yeah, it really is incredible. And right now we know that while a ton of evidence needs to be gathered, while facts need to be pieced together, including how many people were in the venue at the time, these videos really are giving us the closest glimpse we have yet into what happened.
From the moment the doors to Astroworld opened, there was chaos at NRG Park. At 2 p.m., a stampede of concertgoers exploded through security gates, with dozens being trampled in the process. As the clock ticked down to Travis Scott's arrival, tens of thousands of fans crammed into the venue to see the rap star perform.
Where your feet were placed is where your feet stayed the whole night.
Concertgoers told NBC News that around 8:30 p.m., the crowd began to compress and push, making moving, even breathing, difficult.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. As soon as that countdown went to zero, it was just my rib cage was so squished that I couldn't expand my chest, expand my lungs to catch a breath. Let's go!
Just after 9 p.m., Travis Scott took the stage and the atmosphere in the venue ignited, electrifying an already feverish mob of fans. According to a video analysis by NBC News, by 9:12 p.m., people in the crowd could be heard screaming for help. Houston police say they first received reports of people falling injured around 9:30 p.m. It was around that exact time when Travis Scott briefly paused the show after noticing an ambulance.
There's an ambulance in the crowd. Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Moments later, he asked fans to put a middle finger up to the sky if they were okay.
If everybody goes to a middle finger up in the sky.
Seconds after, a video was taken of 18-year-old Aiden Cruz trying to notify a camera operator of the dangers taking place in the pit. Twenty-year-old Cynthia Lira found herself at the bottom of a pile of people and felt she wasn't going to make it out alive.
At first, I was like, help, I can't get up. And then when people started coming top of me, I was just like, I can't breathe. I kept screaming, like, help, like, I'm going to die in here.
At one point, Lira says she found herself holding the hand of another stranger trapped in the pile, both silently accepting what felt like an inevitable fate.
It just felt like we were, like, in that together, like, it was such a tragedy. Like, it shouldn't have happened in the first place. But, well, we were stuck in a situation. We couldn't do anything. So we're just like, okay, like, I guess.
At 9:32 p.m., a young woman is seen attempting to alert the same camera operator. She steps in front of the camera, but the concert continues. By 9:38 p.m., a mass casualty event has been declared, and Live Nation agrees to cut the show short. 3 minutes later, security officials are seen running through the pit. At 9:42 p.m., Travis Scott pauses the concert midway through a song and asks security to help someone who's gone unconscious. At almost the exact same time, part of the crowd can be heard chanting, "Stop the show!" As a member of the security team alerts the staff to multiple people without pulses. At 9:46 p.m., members of the Houston Police Department can be seen in the pit. By 9:54 p.m., Drake has taken the stage, and a number of concertgoers are seen standing on top of an emergency vehicle. At 10:11 p.m., Travis Scott finishes his set, and the concert ends, more than 30 minutes after a mass casualty event was declared. 8 people in the crowd died that night, their ages ranging from 14 to 27. In statements to the public, NRG Park and Live Nation both said they're working closely with authorities as they work to investigate the situation. Travis Scott took to Instagram to express his condolences for the lives lost.
I could just never imagine the severity of the situation.
Across social media, survivors continue to share their stories, raising awareness and hoping for change.
I really hope that my story and my work will help to put guidelines and preventions so like this will never happen again. It should have never happened in the first place.
See, these user videos really do put into perspective how awful a situation this is in a way that you don't get just sort of reading and hearing some things. I do have to wonder, though, I mean, you mentioned that there were two pauses, at least in the show. Any more explanation, understanding as to why the concert wasn't stopped after that mass casualty?
Yeah, I mean, that's the big question, right? And Houston Fire Chief Samuel Pena was on with today's Savannah Guthrie this morning. And essentially he said, look, we don't know right now exactly what Travis Scott knew. There's no evidence here that he encouraged people to rush the stage. We did see he stopped the show a few times, but it still took, like we saw, another 30 minutes for the music to stop completely. Of course, Travis Scott, he took to social media. We saw to express his condolences. His girlfriend, Kylie Jenner, also took to social media to do the same. She said they had no idea there were any fatalities until after the show.
Wow. There's going to be a lot more to come from this story, obviously. Lindsay Reiser, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Now, a lot of y'all don't believe in the Illuminati and blood sacrifice and all that other shit. So this right here just might not mean nothing to y'all. But for those of y'all that got that third eye wide open, you know what the fuck that shit was. I posted a video that you could see and everything lit. You could see on both my pages of Travis Scott legitimately looking at someone whom is shaking and going through whatever the fuck that they was going through before they met the afterlife and singing to him. You got people making the argument like, oh, how could he stop the show over one person? And then you know what the internet does. Their internet goes crazy posting video after video of this celebrity and that celebrity stopping their show to help one person. And then beyond that, there is video footage of Travis Scott acknowledging someone in the audience and stopping the show. Everything that went on during that show speaks to blood sacrifice, speaks to elevation. There's only been one good rebuttal for this argument that I've seen. And that's what niggas saying, okay, so if you need to do some kind of crazy blood sacrifice or some kind of crazy ass ritual, then how come Drake never had nothing like that? That's a real good point, but it depends on how deep you look at Drake. Shout out to the thunderstorms in the back. Depending on how deep you look at Drake depends on whether or not you believe that Drake had a blood sacrifice or Drake did something like this. Hell, you could even align Drake with this. They not just suing Travis. They suing Roc Nation. They suing Drake. They talking about billions of dollars of damage. They ignored them babies. And people legitimately died. I'm not saying Travis Scott is necessarily responsible if people were being injected with drugs, because that's a narrative. If people got a bad package, because that's a narrative. I'm not saying Travis Scott is directly responsible for whatever caused the death of these people. But what I am saying is Travis Scott is not innocent. Where Travis Scott could have helped, he was negligent. Perhaps one or two people would have died had Travis Scott done something. I could play several different ways in my head that this scenario played itself out, but it played itself out the way that it did. And the only conclusion that I get is, yo, niggas really didn't give a fuck. And it's beyond Travis. That's why niggas is talking about some Illuminati shit. This nigga was up there doing his job. Travis Scott got paid to perform. Even if you thinking about it in a sense of yo, this was a ritual. He knew what was going to happen. He got elevated, blah, 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 blah. At the end of the day, he was a puppet. And that be where the confusion with the Illuminati and the Brotherhood and all of that shit be getting niggas jammed up. They don't understand it's levels to this shit. Just because you hear somebody say somebody like Dirk or somebody like that is affiliated, understand the nepotism behind it. I watched a very interesting documentary on YouTube, and they was talking about industry and Hollywood nepotism and how nobody is famous without having a famous family member or somebody to walk them in the game. It's all a family tree. It's all inbreeding celebrity. Kind of like the job you work at. They like to promote from within. It's called nepotism. That's the industry. That's where we at with it. So, if that's the case, it takes for you to be a sellout. You got to be a sellout. Let's just keep it a bean. First, there's the nepotism. You got to know somebody that knows somebody, get you in the door. And then you got to be willing to play the game. A lot of the artists that you know that are talented, that don't make it to where you think that they deserve to be, they did not play the game. They did not do what was asked of them. They did not make the type of music, did not make the type of movies. They did not present themselves as a way that could be a piece of the machine. So they were discarded. That's it. That's the way the game worked. When you heard Kanye talking about, oh, they're going to kill me. I think that part of it is over. I don't really think that they out here killing niggas for telling the truth, because the truth is out there. I think they actually really sitting there watching us kill ourselves by refusing to go get woke, refusing to go acknowledge what's really going on. And we doing so much fighting amongst ourselves. They really don't got to do nothing no more. So when they do little shit like the Travis Scott shit, that shit be beta testing. They be trying to see how many motherfuckers could we get to show up to this shit, and how many of them can we manipulate? Like, you see how they change your mind? If you look at the videos and the pictures of that shit, it was so many motherfuckers. I ain't see, but for every 10 people I seen, maybe 2 people had a mask on. But every other news narrative or every other thing you watch, they talking about COVID. But for Travis Scott shit, COVID is not even in the argument. They're not even talking about how that was a possibility of a being a threat. They're focusing on one thing. They talking about security guards being injected with fentanyl. Like, they going real far to push a certain kind of narrative and a certain kind of agenda. Whether it's true or whether it's not. There's a lot of other things that went on at that, whatever you call it, a festival concert, that they are not talking about compared to the shit that went on that they are talking about. They're keeping your attention focused in one direction. And that usually means this is a distraction. This ain't for you. So go pay attention to what's for you. And we're communicating behind the scenes through the symbolism in these flyers, through different shit. And your average person, they're going to be so dumb. They're going to be so oblivious. They're going to argue amongst themselves about the reality of it. But meanwhile, our goal is accomplished. And we've paid this nigga whatever. And fuck all of these lawsuits, because we own everything. So we not losing nothing. Y'all don't feel that. and y'all don't hear that and y'all don't process that. That's why shit like what happened at the Astroworld Festival go over y'all niggas' heads. They see past 8-10 bodies. They see past a few people having fucking a coma or whatever the fuck. They looking at it like, overall, I got everybody's attention. I could do one thing and make you all look right here. And then I'm over here with the hat trick. They've been doing that shit for years. And then when people say, yo, it's a distraction, it's this, it's that, it's this, it's this, da, 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 you want to argue with the possibility of it being that with no real factual knowledge that is what you arguing. That's why I just get on my podcast and get my shit off, because I don't got to argue with you niggas. You're going to listen to what I say. You're going to think about it, and it's going to be what it's going to be, whatever. I sit here and I think about the possibility of y'all never consider, yo, it could be. And that be the difference between me and you niggas. I acknowledge, yo, it could death be. It could death be. So if it is, then what's really going on? What's really going on, bro?
Maybe Marvin could talk some sense into y'all. To bring some love and
get here today. Oh. Come on. Picket line, sister, and picket side. Sister, don't punish me sister. With brutality. Sister. Hey. Talk to me, sister, so you can see. Oh, what's going on? What's going on? What's going on? They got y'all what's fucked up. What's going on? I'ma help y'all get right though. Hey, we gotta start talking to each other, man. That's the missing part. Out of nowhere, fresh out of COVID. I mean, like, do your timeline. We quote unquote fresh out of COVID. It ain't even been a full year that they've been letting people have live shows, let alone festivals this big. This nigga festival was damn near a fucking Six Flags Great Adventure. That shit was like Coachella. Ain't nobody, I'm not going to say nobody that was there was vaccinated, but come on, man. Compared to what they want us to believe should be going on during COVID, that wasn't what was happening at Astroworld. Everything about that was a setup, bro. How you see it or don't see it, that's exactly what Astroworld was. But I'm going to let y'all tell it. I'm going to let y'all tell me, oh, nah, you bugging. It was just a big show. Niggas got high. Niggas passed out. Niggas died. Da, 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 da. I'm not even going to talk about Travis Scott's past. Fuck his past. I'm not going to push that same narrative that they pushing. I'm going to just say, yo, the amount of give a fuck that was placed in that show let you know what was going on there. And that's really it. That's really it.
Yeah, yeah, it's that little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305 till I die. Listen live online 24/7. You know what it is.
This is Nelly wishing everybody a happy holiday.
This is Rihanna. Let's get up close and intimate.
This is Big Snoop D-O-double-G. And I hope y'all ready for the bombest mother to ever grace the airwaves in this.
Everybody know this hey, boy bang, Kwame. Hey, bang, I'm holding bang. It down for DJ Exclusives. Just spin it, man.
Thinking of a master plan. This ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I get deeper, but still coming up blank. So I start my mission, leave my residence. Thinking how could I get some dead presidents? I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid. So I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up, this is a hole up. Ain't nothing funny, stop smiling. You still don't nothing move but the money. But now I learn to earn cause I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9 to 5. If I strive, then maybe I'll stay alive. So I walk up the street whistling this, feeling out of place, cause man, do I miss a pen and a paper, a stereo, a tape for me and Eric being a nice big plate of fish, which is my favorite dish, but without no money, it's still a wish. Cause I don't like to dream about getting paid, so I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. So now it's a test to see if I got pulled. Hit the studio, cause I'm paid in full.
Akim, check this out. Yo, you go to your girl house and I go to mine, cause my girl is definitely mad cause it took us too long to do this album.
Yo, I hear what you're saying, so let's just pump the music up and count our money.
Yo, but check this out. Yo, Eli, turn the bass down and just let the beat keep on rocking.
And we outta here.
Yo, what happened to Peace? You are now rocking with DJ S. Exclusive, Connecticut's finest female DJ.
Numero uno. I'm not a Puerto Rican, but I'm speaking so that you know. And understand I got the gift of speech, and it's a blessing. So listen to the lesson I preach. I talk sense condensed into the form of a poem. Full of knowledge from my toes to the top of my dome. I'm kinda young, but my tongue speaks maturity. I'm not a child, I don't need nothing for security. The highest title. Numero uno. I'm not a Puerto Rican, but I'm speaking so that you know. And understand I got the gift of speech and it's a blessing. So listen to the lesson I preach. I talk sense condensed into the form of a poem. Full of knowledge from my toes to the top of my dome. I'm kinda young, but my tongue speaks maturity. I'm not a child, I don't need nothing for security. I get paid when my record is played. To put it short, I got it made.
Stoked out blends.
I'm outspoken. My language is broken into a slang, but it's just the dialect that I select when I hang. I play it cool, cause fooling is all that I'm about. Just fooling with the girlies, yes, I'm busting it out. I'm special ed, and you can tell by the style that I use. I'm creatively superior, yo. I never lose, I never lost, cause I'm the boss, and never will, cause I'm still the champion. Chief one won't lose until I choose.
Which I won't lose.
Check it.
Make a million
every 6 months, senor. Taking my game, saying my name.
Check it.
I make $1 million every 6 months, senor. Hating my game, saying my name. They call me the E-Wrong Things. Knowing I'm fly without wings. While some of y'all have to pull strings. In this era, I maintain the freak upon the beat. Master bass lines of Raphael Sadiq. Lyrical mastermind and genius. So don't snooze, no missions impossible. Axe Tom Cruise. I keep a joint lit when I have to spit a rough paragraph. Laugh when I'm busting your ass. Who want it? Come and see me like 112. And I rock that bell with Fox and L. Mr. Excitement, right? Support your guys of rap, so come to the light. Yes, the recipient of this award comes to moi, the best qualified superstar. My squad stays on point like da-da-da-da-da-da. It's the joint.
Yeah, my squad stay on point like da-da-da-da-da-da.
It's the joint. New York, I'm in your area. DC, I'm in your area. New Jersey, I'm in your area.
Stay on point, plus I'm feeling it. Niggas killing shit, trying to duplicate the manuscripts. That's impossible. Pray like a gospel. Overcoming setbacks, jumping over obstacles. Like Evel Knievel, on point like a needle. And PMDs like the Beatles. Back with another sequel to hip hop. Check 1-2 and you don't stop. Rap with mainstream R&B and pop. Now the world's shocked. D doubles back with Mike Doc. Like it or not, we about to turn it up another notch. Mock speed, put it down for my seeds. War breed, acres with the deeds.
Yo, Jinx, man, we gotta find somebody that's down for hers, man. All these girls sipping, man. Who you think fit the category?
It's me, the brand new intelligent black woman, Y-O-Y-O, which is Yo-Yo. But I'm about to be played like I was made by Mattel. But this Yo-Yo was made by woman and male.
All right, man. Things are continuing to spiral out of control for jailed rapper Casanova two times. He was actually hit with another charge in prison today. Now, according to Pitchfork.com, they're pretty much saying that documents state on or about October the 24th, 2020, in the Southern District of Florida, they're saying that Casanova and somebody by goes by the name of JC knowingly attempted to murder an individual and assaulted that individual with a dangerous weapon and shot at a rival gang member in Miami, Florida. Now, we know that Casanova has been jailed since December 2020 for federal charges on a series of violent crime, but it has been stated that he's being charged today, it came out, for that attempted murder charge, adding to the other charges, the RICO, the drug distribution charges that he is being hit with by the feds. Now, Pitchfork is pretty much saying, right, that the incident dates back to October the 24th, 2020 in Miami. They're saying that Casanova got into an argument with a rival gang member, and they said he was accused of flashing the wrong hand signals when taking photos with fans. Now, they said Casanova allegedly replied, "You want to die tonight." Now, the gang member and another person was subsequently shot in the stomach by an associate of Casanova named JC, and this is all being alleged. Now, Casanova's attorney continues to maintain Casanova's innocent, and Casanova is pretty much saying that none of this stuff is true. He's felt like he is being targeted. Now, he put out a lengthy, you know, cry for help not too long ago, saying that he was being set up in the whole nine. I'll get to that, you know, in 1 second, but this is not good. You know, you're sitting behind bars, you're trying to fight the feds, you think things may be going good, and bam, they hit you with another murder charge. Now, right? Now, a few weeks ago, Casanova pretty much put out this message. He put, this was a cry out to his fans. He put, "This is a public service announcement to all my fans and very important friends. I've been incarcerated for almost a year now, exhausted all my remedies, and spent a significant amount of money on legal fees to prove my innocence. The charges against me are false. They don't represent or reflect the person that I am. They are simply using my past criminal history to crucify me in court. I'm the same individual who went to City Hall and the housing projects to speak to children and explain to them how shooting, the gun, and violence isn't the way of life. I visited shelters to feed the people in need all around the world, including Africa, donated back to school drives, and not one of them good deeds are mentioned or acknowledged." He went on to say, "I'm calling on all the great people and meaningful and powerful voices to help me with this matter. Any help provided will be a blessing, because I feel defeated one's past shouldn't be the reason why you can't be afforded a successful future. No one should be held accountable for crimes they already served time for. In legal terms, that's considered double jeopardy. Last but not least, happy birthday to me. Free me until they free me. Y'all know outside ain't the same without me. LOL." And this was written sometime last month. He put that up on his Instagram. But today we found out that he is being hit with another murder charge. Now, again, I know, and we can all attest to some of the great things that.
Man, look, if you're not a fan of gorilla looking rappers and overzealous gangster rap, then this just might not mean nothing to y'all. Hell, it don't mean shit to me, but I just wanted to know, what would some of y'all do if y'all was in that situation? Now, I don't know if you're updated on the whole logistics of the Casanova situation, but Casanova got locked up on some RICO shit. They got him on some criminal organization. He was a member of this gang, that gang, doing this, that, and the third. The paperwork is somewhere and everything lit. You could Google it. Shout out to Crown TV. They make paperwork real easy to get these days for people who don't have Pacer accounts or whatever the case may be. But Casanova's paperwork is on the internet, and he's being basically held accountable for the activities of a whole gang. The Fez is trying to make it seem like Casanova graduated from being an enforcer type nigga to then becoming the bank on some Stringer Bell type shit. So he was financing and putting hits out and ordering shit. So they're basically saying, you the boss, you the kingpin. This is what you getting. And his sentence can carry up to a lifetime in prison. Then on top of that, he is now recently in October 2021, getting hit with another murder charge while he's in jail. Before we even talk about what you would do if you was him, let's just put it out there. They want this man. I don't know if the federal government has some kind of vendetta against him, because like he's saying in his lengthy Instagram post, you know, you can't lock me up and persecute me for crimes I've already committed and done my time for. Whoop-de-whoop, which is 100% facts, and I agree. But that also says, damn, you done pissed these motherfuckers off. They really not fucking with you. They really all over your body right now. They really trying to get you jammed up in the most crazy kind of way, bruh. They using any and every type of information that they could find to jam you up. And the fact that he's basically saying he's running out of money. Here go that other shit. I remember when Casanova was home. He on Instagram wearing Hermes this, Balenciaga that, Gucci this, Fendi that, Prada that. You at these fancy restaurants, you're basically flaunting your wealth. You putting it all in my face. Money phone. You ain't even been locked up for a full year and you're begging for money. You're going broke. What does that say to you niggas? Rule of the streets. Before you get any chains, any of that, you have some money put up. I just dropped an album called The Soprano, loosely inspired by HBO's hit series, The Sopranos. I bring that up because there was a time when Tony thought that he was about to get indicted. Tony went to his lawyer and gave his lawyer $1 million for his wife, for her to live off of in case he got to go to jail. And until he could figure something out, there go this million, give her her allowance every week. And if she asks for everything, give it to her. On top of him giving his lawyer the retainer to fight his case. That's the way that shit's supposed to go. If you making boss type moves and you doing shit like that, you supposed to have certain shit in the stash. Even if you not still active, you just got it just in case. There ain't no way a nigga that was on Instagram flossing like this man was flossing and talking like this man was talking is already running out of money, and he's begging and pleading and talking about how they trying to railroad him. But when he first got locked up, them Instagram posts was different. Oh, I'ma stand 10 toes, blah, blah, blah. You was talking all of that shit, how you 10 toes down. Can't keep a real nigga down. You posting all these videos and shit of you and your wife kissing and hugging, and you about to go do your bid. You about to go do some real nigga shit. But now that real nigga shit is here. You're feeling that shit every single day. It don't seem so real no more, huh? Niggas ain't coming to see you, huh? Your record label probably done dropped you. You wasn't making them that much money to begin with. That's one of the reasons you was out here trolling and with the bullshit, and why you probably was still affiliated with some street shit, because you really wasn't making no money. Let's just keep it a buck. You beefing with 6ix9ine. Your biggest hit is a Tekashi 6ix9ine diss. Everything around you, as in Casanova, is a big deal, basically because you beef with 6ix9ine. And you talked all of this shit about 6ix9ine. Now look at you. You actually in the same situation 6ix9ine was in. Actually worse, because they wasn't trying to put no murders on 6ix9ine. So what are you going to do? You in the same situation as Alpo was in. Sammy the Bull. All these other glorified snitches. Are you going to be the nigga that be like, nah, fuck my wife, fuck my kids. I'm about to do this, that, and the third. I'm about to take this time. Because you already trying to play the whole double jeopardy and you wrongfully convicted and you ain't do none of that. You want to convince a jury and the public that you're innocent. Now, I don't know this nigga and I don't know the niggas that he run with or what he's being charged with, what they trying to say this man did. But this is what I do know. I know the feds got about a 90% clearance rate. I know a federal agent could literally watch you do crime. In fact, that's what they do. They watch your ass for years. They let you get established. They let you buy that car, that mansion. They let you do all of that shit. And they compile so much information that it's irrefutable. Like, they don't get you on a little bullshit where your little lawyer could talk you out of it. Nah, they stack it. So by the time they coming for you, nigga, you might as well take the plea, because you're about to do 15 to 20 mandatory. Mandatory. And you're not giving none of them years back, because they're going to make sure it's solid. So is Casanova, does he seem like the type of nigga that's ready to do them years? I don't think he that nigga. Especially since he already, what'd he do, 10 years already? It's hard to do that type of time, come home and start eating caviar, then you got to go back to that shit. And then they tell you, you got to do it for life. The nigga, if the nigga was prepared to go to jail for that amount of time, he wouldn't be on social media crying now. He'll be carrying it a little bit like Shotty. I'm not bigging Shotty up, because Shotty recently got on social media talking about he running out of money as well. But when Shotty got locked up, Shotty just took it on the chin. Whatever. The only thing that's different between Shotty and Casanova is Shotty got testified against, so there was going to be nothing that he was going to be able to do. And Shotty was running the label, so Shotty should have definitely had money put up, especially when he know what he doing. See, Casanova, if you want to give Casanova the benefit of the doubt, he say he wasn't doing nothing. So, okay, maybe that make him feel like, I don't got to put a whole bunch of money up for an attorney. I'm not doing nothing. But Shotty, you know what you doing. You know how you giving it up out here in these streets. And you're in jail. You've been in jail for what, 2-3 years? And you running out of money? What are these niggas doing with the bread? Or are they lying to you? Because let me tell you something. Are legal fees expensive? Absolutely. Absolutely. Legal fees are expensive, but the way that these niggas balled out and flexed and did all this fly shit, you would think that they would have a priority straight. That's why, just like Chris said in The Sopranos, all of these rappers, I shot your bitch, I killed your hoe, that's not gangster. I'm a gangster. I think the same way that I love watching mafioso movies and TV shows, so do your favorite rappers. That shit dope. Who don't want to watch The Sopranos or Scarface or Casino, Goodfellas? Who don't want to watch that? And if you a creative ass motherfucker, you gonna draw from that the same way that I produce. And I get these ideas for my music. These rappers, they get ideas for themselves and they style and they persona and who they want to be and how they want to be remembered. But the difference is that shit is a movie. And like Jadakiss said, Niggas want to be Scarface, but they didn't see the end of the movie. And niggas never talk about the end of Scarface. They just talked about how he had the pool with all the money, sniffing coke by the pound off the table. And that's the issue. We so desensitized to what's real that we glorify what's fake and makes no sense, to the point where Casanova's probably been offered to cooperate several times and he's probably like, nah, I'ma beat this. And the feds already know you broke and the feds know you can't afford to fight them. So they're like, all right, nigga, you gonna beat this? All right. Cool. Let's go. And now look, you coming up on a year and some change in the feds. You running out of money. If you running out of money, I know your wife running out of money. What she do? Because the only thing that she did before was be your woman. So now she got to get a regular job. I mean, how her life panning out? I'm pretty sure she had to downsize. She not living in that big ass house you had. Probably sold that shit. There's probably no luxury there. You probably just as regular as you and as me and any nigga that's listening to this podcast. You just got a popular record. Your label done turned their back on you. So you gonna still stand tall when you claim that you didn't do nothing? Because if you didn't do nothing, then you shouldn't be in there. Because what you paying the lawyers for? If you ain't do nothing and you're running out of money and you quote unquote paid a substantial amount of money in legal fees, then what did you pay for if you still in jail if you didn't do it? Any lawyer should be able to acquit a nigga that didn't do some shit, especially a celebrity. You should have all kind of alibis and been in the studio over here, on tour here, performing here. So if you can't connect those type of dots, then nigga, you probably was doing some shit. So now you got to make a choice. Them or me. I got kids. I got a family. I could probably have a career if I come home. Niggas don't think about that. All niggas think about is their image and what it look like. And that's fucked up. Because I bet you if niggas start interviewing some of these niggas' baby moms and some of these niggas' girlfriends, I bet you these people, I bet you they want they nigga to cooperate. I bet you they don't give a fuck about whoever on the block or whoever be hustling with them. I bet you they want they nigga to come home under any circumstances necessary. They down to move. They down to do whatever just to be with they nigga. It's they nigga that's afraid of a different kind of life. And that's the reality. Niggas, how I'ma say it? All right, so when it comes to being an informant, you got a choice. You could fucking go ahead and inform and then just be around in the hood, or you could be the type of informant that get low and get the fuck out of there and subject yourself to a whole different type of lifestyle, i.e. witness protection. And in some of these situations, witness protection is not an option, but in some, it is. A lot of niggas do not go into witness protection, or they go back to the hood because that's really all they know. It ain't that these niggas don't want a different kind of life or an opportunity. It's just that they know that if they do and they go back to the hood, it's curtains for them. It's a wrap. But if a nigga really believed that they had an alternative outside of going back to where they was fucking at, then they would do it. If you really sit there and think about the snitches that went down in history, Nikki Barnes, witness protection. Alpo, witness protection. Protective custody. Sammy the Bull, witness protection. Why? Because them niggas knew that they could do something else. They had to do something else. There was no opportunity for them going back to where they came from. So they got to go someplace else and do something else. Otherwise, it's fucked up. It's curtains for them. But for the little nigga that don't got no other choice but to go back to that same environment, that same place, then yeah, that's pretty much what they going to do. They going to snitch. They going to rat. What other options do they have? But see, me, listen, like I keep on saying, it's going to be me before it's ever you. Never going to let a nigga have happiness and have all of these benefits that life has to offer while I'm sitting there suffering, waking up in a cell every day like, God, why didn't I choose me? You got to be real low in the self-esteem area to not be willing to risk your life for your life. If a nigga gonna kill me, then a nigga's gonna kill me. That's the way I was supposed to go out. That's the way my story was written. But I'd be damned if I decide to die in a cell behind some other nigga that probably wouldn't do the same shit for me. And so what if the nigga do? What your mom used to say? If a group of niggas jump off a bridge, you gonna jump with them? Just because a nigga down to do some stupid shit, that doesn't mean that I gotta subscribe to that. I'm not about to do some dumb shit because you do dumb shit. Just like people on Facebook talking about, oh, keep your mouth shut. Don't be talking about what's going on in your relationship. Bitch, you toxic. I don't give a fuck. I'm not about to get on your Facebook post and go back and forth with you about how toxic you are. If you the type of nigga that be really legit thinking that your woman can't talk about what goes on in your relationship. This, our whole thought system as it pertains to talking in itself is fucked up, is flawed. We don't get therapy. We think law enforcement is against us, which in some cases it is, but because that is a system that we have enabled. We kill each other. We don't take care of each other. We've empowered the fucking government and the police department to be what it is because look at who we are. And then when you do get a good cop to try to help you, y'all niggas, nah, fuck the police, fuck the police. So yeah, it's a cycle. And until niggas start choosing themselves over that same poisonous ass cycle that got indoctrinated in you, that got put in you, that got you believing that there is something wrong with being a stand-up person and doing what you got to do so monsters aren't roaming the streets, cool. And for niggas that's choosing to go to jail or get death penalties and all type of shit because they gangsters, they real niggas, I fuck with it. I feel you, my nigga. That's just not something that I'm ever, ever, ever willing to do, especially if I have a family. And the fact that y'all niggas could choose jail over your family is some crazy shit, and I'm never going to understand it. But yo, I digress.
We're now rocking with DJ F-Exclusive, Connecticut's finest female DJ.
Y'all know the routine, and here we go again. So all hail the queen. I let me go, Robert.
most of them MC. So when it comes around to the month for May to need your royalty check for Mother's Day, because yo, you know, you can't deal with this. I'm Shantae the microphone grand mistress.
Can I kick it?
Yes, you can.
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 Well, I'm gone. Can I kick it to all the people who can quest like a tribe does? Before this, did you really know what I was? Comprehend to the track force, why? Cuz getting mentions on the tip of the vibe buzz. Rock and roll to the beat of the funk fuzz. Wipe your feet really good on the rhythm rug. If you feel the urge to freak, do the jitterbug. Come and spread your arms if you really need a hug. Afrocentric living is a big shrug. A life filled with, that's what I love. A lower plateau is what we're above. If you diss us, we won't even think of. We'll nip of the dog and give a big shove. This rhythm really fits like a snug glove. Like a box of positives, it's a plus love. As the tribe flies high like a dove.
Since he was with his boys, he tried to break fly. I punched him dead in his eyes. Said,
"Who you calling?"